Today's topic is the concept, which is known in halacha as yichud, that there's a prohibition for a man and a woman to be together in a situation of seclusion. Some of the halachas are actually derived from this week's parsha. It talks about the situation where a woman who's the sota, who's been suspected of improper actions, inappropriate actions between herself and another man, somebody other than her husband. But the Torah presents it in the concept of that they were beseser, they were in seclusion. The specific scenario of the soita of the Torah is not the regular din of yichud. That's talking about a situation where a woman has been warned prior about the specific man not to be in seclusion with him, and then she ignores that warning. So that's the scenario of a soita in the parsha. But the concept that a woman should not be in seclusion with another man, that is accepted by most poskim to be a din d'oraisa, that a man and a woman cannot be together if they are arayas one to the other. So a woman who's married being in seclusion with another man, or a woman who's an erva between the woman who's an nida. So the times of Chazal, even women who were not married would be going to the mikveh because they lived in a world where there was truma and taharas, etc. So even a woman who was not married would need to maintain a tahara state in order to not be metama the kalim and the food, etc. in the home. So a woman who's not married and wasn't a nida theoretically is permitted to. So on a Torah level, such a woman would not be a situation of yichud. The Gemara says that there was a din d'rabbanan that they made yichud in that situation. Unless they're married, they shouldn't be together even in that situation. But nowadays, most women who are, if they're not married, there's no reason to going to the mikvah. Actually, there is a discouragement of women like that. So a woman says, I want to be very holy, before the Yom Tov, I want to go to the mikveh, it looks like men do. So we discourage that because of that acts as another barrier between people acting improper. The woman is prohibited on a needle level, which if you take that away, so you have one more barrier which is removed, which is not a good idea. So that's nowadays we're talking about it, not a rabbinic prohibition, but a Torah prohibition like most poskim, any woman who's an erva. Now, the direct arayas of the line of succession of parents and children, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, is not prohibited. But other arayas are prohibited. So a man with his aunt, his mother's sister, is not going to be mutter, they're being a sort of yichud, even though they're related. That's not going to make a mutter. In some ways, that's a more complicated situation of yichud than others. There's a fascinating Rabbeinu Yona. Rabbeinu Yona says that not about yichud specifically, but about the general idea of making gedorim, making fences around mitzvahs. So in the Sefer Shari Tshuva, the Sefer is built, we mentioned this before, that there are four Sha'orim, four sections to the Sefer. Rishonim used to refer to the sections as Sha'orim. Chazal actually did that. The Babas are divided into three Babas, a gate, it's a Shar. So the three Babas are the three Sha'orim. So the Sefer is divided into four sections. The last section deals with Kapara, cleansing yourself from sin. But the first three deal with tshuva, and the first three sections dealing with tshuva. The first one deals with how to do tshuva properly. It gives you the different parts of what a valid tshuva is. What do you do to be able to do tshuva properly? The second section deals with the motivations why a person wants to do tshuva. And the third section, which is the longest of all, addresses what you have to tshuva about. See, in the context of the third section, what you have to tshuva about, he starts with the way he approaches it is, let's take what seems to be people's mind, the least significant of all mitzvahs, and point out why it's very important, and etc., etc. So the first thing he deals with is the rabbanans. The people take the rabbanans, they don't take the rabbanans so seriously, because it's only the rabbanan. We've all heard that phrase, it's only the rabbanan. So he says, well, many of the rabbanans are there to act as a protective fence around the derisas, which Chazal put in place. So if we want to see how we show our awe and our yira and our respect for a mitzvah, it's by how much we're willing to put a fence around it. If the actual act itself doesn't really bother me that much, so I don't feel a need to create a protective fence around it. If it's something, Rabbi Ruchin gives a mashal, if a fire is burning, there's a burning building, and I see this burning building, so I don't say, let's get as close as possible to see. I say, you know what? Fire is dangerous any moment. The wind could come and turn it. Flames could shoot out. But let's stay far away. I prefer not getting burnt. Right? So I want to stay at a distance. That shows how much I'm scared of the actual situation by how much I want to make a distance. So the midrabbanans are what show our real fear of what an aver is. So your shemayim is measured by how much you keep your drabbanans. That's how he writes. And how much you keep a getter shows how much yirah shemayim you have. If I don't tell yirah shemayim, no. Till the end of the world we do it. So like no reason to make protection because I don't mind if I do it. If I'm scared, very stiff of doing something wrong, I would like to stay far away as possible. So yichud is seen as one of the examples, potentially even on a Torah level, of the concept of making a getter. The other place you find a concept in this week's parsha is the concept by a nozer. The nozer is not allowed to drink wine. The main prohibition is drinking wine. So the Rishonim already said the idea that a nozer cannot eat grapes. He cannot eat the pits of grapes. That the Mor says that's because we have a concept by a nozer. You tell a nozer stay away from the vineyard. Right? You don't want you to come to drink wine. Just keep your distance from the vineyard, and then you won't come to drink wine. So that is an example. Mesilas Yesharim writes that's an example of a concept which is now used called a getter on a Torah level. It's a getter. There is a protective fence, but it's on a Torah level. So therefore, I'm not sure from the name of the Talz Rav. Remember, it's a bloch. Hashem Yikam Domay Sivul Bracha. So that he said that every type of anhaga which the Torah expects of us will give us one example on the Torah level, and we're supposed to extrapolate that this is the way we're supposed to act and apply it to other areas as well. So the example of the Nozer is the example of how we create Gedorim. The example of a Lulav and Esrig, we talk about beautifying it in a tremendous way. It gives an example of how you're supposed to beautify a mitzvah. So it's not limited only to Lulav and Esrig. It applies to many mitzvahs, but the Torah gave it in one place. The Torah gave us the concept, and we're supposed to extrapolate from there. So even though it's even in a situation where it's rabbinic, it's something which is very serious. In Kabbalah Karma situation where it's a Torah level, it's a problem. There's machlokes in the Poskim. Is the prohibition of Yichud only limited to the fact that we're concerned about it coming to something worse? Because in a situation of Yichud, a man and woman are in seclusion, that creates a certain intimacy, etc., they might end up doing something. But that itself is improper. Being in that state of intimacy itself is already improper to do. So one of the potential differences is short-term Yichud. Short-term Yichud I'm not sure we'll get to there time-wise in the shir. Right? There are time limits. There's a minimum time which Chazal defined is what's called Seser, relevant for the Saita. So that the man warned his wife and said, do not be with this man in seclusion. It's only a problem there a certain amount of time. It's not a very long amount of time. I'm clear because how long that is. But whatever it is, and we learn out from there to the Din of Yichud. What about a Chatzi Shir? Is there a concept of Chatzi Shir that in regards to Yichud? The example of that being an elevator. Man and woman get into the elevator together, right? They're going to be, and the door shuts, they're going to be, especially if you're dealing with some very tall buildings, they'll have a high-speed elevator, you know, it's the 50th floor, and it goes straight to the 50th floor, and then from 51 and up, it stops every floor. So from the ground floor until floor 50, there's a minute before it gets there. So there's a minute where they're by themselves. There's nobody else there. That's not the sheer yichud, but it's less than the sheer yichud. Is it a problem? So Menashe Klein and the Tshuva says it's a problem. He feels that even Chatzi Shir is also by yichud. Many other questions disagree and say that the yichud is only a yichud which could come to something of a full-fledged act of sexual intimacy between a man and a woman. That's the only thing. If it can't, there's not enough time to come to that, the prohibition of Yichud doesn't apply. And that's an example that would be the elevator situation. From floor to floor, it's so minimal amount of time that you know, any. Now, when we say there's a time limit to Yichud, whatever the shear is, the smallest shear is about a minute and a half. Some suggest 3 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever the number is. The fact that the two people are in a situation of Yichud and they plan to leave before the time passes, but there's nothing compelling them, is not called that's not called a valid pachas mikashir, because they could extend it, and that's part of what we're afraid of, that they might extend it. Many situations of yichud, people don't go into the situation planning to do something wrong. The situation develops, and that's what we're afraid of. We're talking about a case situation where, against their plans, against their will, it's going to be forced upon them that it's going to be curtailed. So the example is the elevator. Any moment the door could open. You have no control over that. So that's the situation, which would be a good example of that. Okay, so there's this prohibition, which is on a Torah level. What are some of the areas which we have to look at to define what is prohibited? So there's really three different areas which we have to look at. We have to look at the individuals involved and define which individuals are not prohibited and which are prohibited. We have to define what's the definition of being together. So that will, based on the place itself, how open or closed it is. And then, are there any types of heterim which are built into the into the system because of the natural instinct of fear, which plays out in the world of Yichud? So those are the three things we have to look at. We have to look at the individuals involved. We have to look at the place. So the people, the place, and we already spoke about the time. And then there's a question: are there any other heterim? I want to talk about this last point. And clarify it, and then move back. And actually, go back to the first point. So we're saying, we don't have to. We have to define. There's a concern of the Chazanish says that the nature of people when they're about to do something wrong, which they feel that they know is wrong, and they don't want it to be revealed that they're doing something wrong, they start having irrational fear. First is about to steal for the first time in his life. He's never stolen before. When he's telling the story, he's about to steal. Like he's inside of his mind. He's going back and forth, etc. And any possibility that anybody might see him will make him run away and be scared. A person who's been stealing on a regular basis doesn't have that compunction is not there. That moral compunction is not there. But a person who's not done something wrong before will have that type of attitude. So that creates two things. That creates, number one, that we can create what seem to be almost irrational heterim. And it helps us define what type of individual the rules of Yichud and the heterim of Yichud apply to. So if a person who does not have a limit, he's not careful in these areas. Right? It's a person who is not careful in the barriers between man and a woman. Will not have the same level of compunction of doing something wrong as a person who's never done something wrong in this area, and he's being tempted into the first situation. We're saying, you know what? Don't allow yourself to be tempted. You know what? If anything potentially could be discovered, the temptation is destroyed. The Gemara says, just an example, the Gemara says that Ram Chasida, the Gemara says there's a person, the Gemara in Kedushin, that there's a person named Rabbi Amram, and the Gemara gave him the title of Chasida. That's quite an appellation. The Gemara calls him a Chasida. That's quite an appellation. The Gemara says one time he was tempted to do something improper with a woman, and he screamed out, "There's a fire!" So everybody came running. There's a fire. Running fire was a tremendously scary thing. You know, the houses were wood. There was no way to control it. People came running right away. They saw him there, and the fact that people were there helped them control themselves, not do anything wrong. Then the temptation was abated. So they said, you know, it's pretty embarrassing. The Talmidim said, you know, you've embarrassed us in front of all these people. The people think the rabbis, you know, are horrible people. He says, well, you know what? Yeah, but I'd rather not do that and not sin than have the bear on my conscience. But such a person, the fact that somebody's coming is going to be something which will a negative motivator not to do it. Somebody else, okay, no, they're not the end of the world. So seclusion with somebody who's considered halachically a poritz is more problematic in halacha than somebody who's not considered a poritz. So the assumption in halacha that a non-Jew is not necessarily careful about many of these areas, so he has a din of a poritz. a person, any person who's involved, who's not Sharma Nagia, these type of things, is considered a parents. Rav Adya is a true, he holds any person who has a television is considered, if you're willing to watch whatever is available on the TV nowadays, maybe that's considered a parents. So I don't know how far you want to take it, right? But that's how far the person are grappling with this issue. The sensitivities have been dulled, and the person doesn't have the same fear, this irrational fear. The Chazon Ish uses it to explain the concept called Baal Beir, or Pesach Pesuach. So there's a machloek, one of the terms is known as Pesach. If there's an open door, so how open does an open door have to be? So according to some Pesachim, it has to be actually wide open. And some question says it doesn't have to be wide open, it can be unlocked. Now, when was the last time somebody walked into this house through an unlocked door on his own volition instead of actually knocking and waiting to be admitted? Never happened. So why does it work? So Chazon Ish says, because of this irrational fear. Yes, it's never happened before, but the person does something he doesn't want to really do to some extent, and he's being tempted. He says, oy vey, now is going to be the time that somebody's going to walk in. It's an irrational fear, but that's how people think. So that's the Heter Pesach Pesuach, is built on this irrational fear. And therefore, he passes even a situation where the door is not necessarily even wide open. And even nowadays, even if the door is wide open, when was that somebody walked in unannounced?
Is it considered that a paritz doesn't care about Pesach Pesuach?
So the heter of Pesach Pesuach doesn't work by a paritz. So a person can say, even though Pesach Pesuach doesn't work, but if an actual open door, people can actually see in, as long as the person stays within the sight view of the person who cares, is within sight view of the actually being visible, that is sufficient.
I mean, if the person in question in the house is a paritz, is the Pesach Pesuach good enough to not be?
There's two parts. So if the person, I need two people.
If one of the two people is a parent.
Right, so Pesach Pesuach is not sufficient.
Right. Okay.
But an actual open door where people can see in, and the person who's concerned about Yichud stays within that the view, mm-hmm. So that's not seclusion. The Isser is to be secluded. They're not secluded because it's equivalent to being. There's something we say in the middle that you're out in the street. The guy's a poet, but there's no seclusion. We have to have there has to be an assumption of seclusion. So that's the definition of location. So that's an example of the Chazon Ish explains one of the terem called Pesach Pesuach, the logic behind that. Okay, so now going back to our individuals, so who does the halacha apply to? It applies to man and a woman. The halacha is that two men and one woman is not usur. So in general, the two men would be embarrassed to do something, each man would be embarrassed to do something improper with the woman because in the presence of the other one. So therefore, there's no isur of yichud in that situation. Two prutzim does not have the hetus. That woman doesn't have a situation. If she's with two men which are prutzim, she has a problem with yichud even though there's two men there. One man with two women, the Gemara says it's usur. That the impropriety which potentially one man can do, he can potentially do something improper with two women and quote unquote get away with it. Multiple men with multiple women is not usur, it's not yichud. One man with multiple women, Rashi says that's mutter. Not all the person agreed to that, but Rashi says that's mutter. We rely on that in situations which we need to. So that's the amount of people.
I thought Rabbi just said one man with two women is a problem, but multiple women, meaning more than one?
More than two.
Right.
So a man saying a shir for 50 ladies, it's one man with multiple women. Right. So at some point it's not called yichud anymore.
What's multiple?
It seems to be a halacha that ready three or four, Rashiel, even three or four is sufficient. Most we don't rely on that heter alone, unless you have other considerations. A child who is under the age of having any type of will to be aroused, desire, etc., is not considered a problem of yichud. So a more common situation comes with the babysitting situations. You have a girl who's over bas mitzvah, so she has an isser of yichud, and you have a young boy, so it's not a problem. That young man can act as a shomer if he's old enough that he understands what's going on. So if anything improper happens, since he won't be pulled into the mix, he will then act as a shomer. So if there's an older boy and a younger boy, the younger boy can act as a shomer to permit the situation of yichud for the older boy as well. And vice versa, if you'd have a male taking care of female children, you would have that type of situation as well. There's a heter known as Baal HaBe'ir. So Baal HaBe'ir means that a woman, if the husband is in the same city, so she doesn't have an issur yichud with another man. Baal HaBe'ir does not work in a situation where it's libra gaspo. A woman that was very familiar with this individual, so a common situation, we said an aunt is a problem of yichud. So a nephew and an aunt would be a problem of yichud, but they libra gaspo, they're very familiar with each other, so Baal HaBe'ir would not help with that situation. Pesach Pesuch would, Baal HaBe'ir would not help. So defining the definition of ear is quite challenging. So first of all, we assume it has to be the woman's at home, or even if the woman's somewhere else, not at home, as long as the husband knows where she is. Does it have to be the husband is possible that he can return? Does it have to bother because the woman's scared any moment the husband might pop in? So that creates a certain aim that she won't do something improper. But if the wife knows the husband cannot pop in any moment, she has tracking on her phone her husband's location, right? And she knows exactly where the husband is, and he's right now somewhere stuck in the middle of Manhattan, and she lives on Long Island, and it's going to take him, you know, an hour and a half to get home. So it's not going to happen. On the other hand, or is it, this creates a certain mentality of how she relates to the world when her husband is present. So how far do you extend that? The assumption of the law is even if the husband is not necessarily able to get home, if it's perceived to be in the same place, there's a certain relationship which that generates, and that will create the heter Baal HaBe'ir. I just want to touch on location a little bit, the bench. So an open area is not considered, if they're not in close proximity to each other, there's a man on one end of the field, a woman on the other end of the field, that's not considered. So I'm taking a walk in the morning and go to a park, and far in the distance is another woman, that's not yichud. If it's late at night or very early in the morning and there's all the people present and right next to each other, that's yichud. If any moment people can show up, that's not called yichud. It's not a situation of seclusion. But even in a situation of seclusion, it's late at night, if we're not near each other, there's no intimacy which is developing. A man is bringing a babysitter home late at night on a side street and there's no cars around, that's a situation of yichud. A person comes back on a date and he's sitting with somebody in the car, there's a situation that they're next to each other and there's nobody around. So how often does somebody have to pass by to be considered that it's not secluded? The assumption of the Pesukim is that every 10 minutes or so a car passes by, that's considered as not secluded. Okay, you know, let's hold it here for now. And we'll...